7 for the week of September 7th, 2008. I'm Al Perkins, owner of Al's Melophone Page. With us this week is the Associate Professor of Horn from Arizona State University, Dr. John Q. Erickson. The doctor is in. Welcome, John.
Hey.
How's school
going?
Good to
be here. School's going good. This is the first week of school as we record this. And
It's September 7th.
this is what it is. And school's starting good. Good, we're doing good.
You got good. A lot of horn majors this year?
I have 14 students. We'd like to have a few more, but I can tell you this in terms of, the mellophone excitement at ASU is building because they have 24 mellophones in the ASU marching band, which is the most ever.
And what kind of mouthpieces are they using?
They right now are using random mouthpieces, but they've ordered Curry 1HTFs.
Love
they
those.
Should be here any moment.
I am hearing more and more people are going to the Currys now. I mean, there used to be it's all about, the Hammond and the IYM and the IYM and the Hammond and the Hammond and the IYM. Yeah. And all of a sudden now it's like, and Curry. And
I think they're just easier to get a hold of. But backing up, they didn't use mellophones before. 2 years ago at ASU, they used B-flat marching horns, which is a...
Funny you should mention that.
The topic of the show today.
The subject is B-flat marching horns. Not to be referred to as B-flat mellophones, I understand.
That's just adding one more layer of confusion on top of things, I think.
Yes. I'm actually going to write that down. Now, just a little bit of background information. There are B-flat marching horns out there. They're actually very common and very widely used, and they've been widely used for a long time in a lot of places.
Yeah, it's like certain places use them and certain places don't. And it's just kind of like little enclaves of people using them there. Just because the influence of various teachers or whatever, they'll use them instead of mellophones. Sometimes together with mellophones, but usually instead.
Now, I think there's a couple of things that we really need to blurt out right away about B-flat horns before we talk about them. Two very, very key things. Number one, they are, for all intents and purposes, a B-flat single horn.
Right. Actually, the better way to say it is it's the B-flat side of a double horn.
Yes, that's kind of what I mean.
So, yeah, but that's not always obvious to, a band director. They're thinking that, a horn in F uses F-horn fingerings. So a B-flat marching horn, that wouldn't use F-horn fingerings, would it?
Yeah, this is kind of the second point I wanted to blurt out, and I really can't say this strongly enough. B-flat marching horns read F parts.
Yeah, they should read F parts. Anyway, I agree with that fully. I think anybody who resembles a horn teacher would agree with that fully.
Yeah.
But actually, there are B-flat parts printed for B-flat marching horn, which are basically read like a baritone treble clef part by, say, a trumpet player. It's really kind of weird, but somehow there got to be some of this going on, and it exists, and there you are. Part another layer of confusion in our middle range world.
Yeah, and the thing is that confuses me with that is that putting a part in B flat is the equivalent of when you're playing a double French horn, all of a sudden it's like, oh, you got to go to the higher notes. We're going to write your part in B flat now.
Yeah, but see, it's kind of the thing that. Here's where we get at, kind of why I wrote that mellophone book, is that there's just lack of information on this stuff out there. I mean, band directors, they'll look at a catalog, say Yamaha, and you can see that they make mellophones and they make marching horns.
Yes.
The marching horns are in B-flat, and they take a horn mouthpiece, and the mellophones are in F, and they take a mellophone mouthpiece. And then there's just so much confusion out there. That's what's great about this Mellocast, actually, is we can take layers of confusion off things for people out there. If we
can be the authority and just kind of make it happen. Say, you know what?
Yeah,
this is how it's going to be because we say so.
Well, in any event, this I guess so. But the topic of the B flat marching horn is just a good topic because there is this confusion. Basically, I remember when I was back when I was in Nashville, I played in the Nashville Symphony, but I also did some teching at a large high school in their bands, and I basically helped with the concert bands, but they had marching bands too, and they were looking at new instruments, and they had a bunch of instruments sent out, including several different F mellophones, and a Yamaha B-flat marching horn. Mm-hmm. Now, and me trying them, I really liked the Yamaha marching horn the best. I thought it had a big sound, felt good to me as an advanced horn player. They ended up buying the mellophones, and I can understand, actually, from their director's perspective, the mellophones were cheaper, and they're more practical for them, easier for the students to play, probably. They can hand one to a trumpet player, et cetera, et cetera. But the B-flat marching horn, in some places, especially where they see here at ASU, they use them for a long time in the marching bands, and it's just like the B flat side of a double horn. It's a good marching instrument for an advanced horn player. It has a similar sound, but a little bigger than a mellophone. Mm-hmm. And but play from the same music. A good player should be able to play it, just fine. And it plays from music in F. Newsflash to arrangers and everybody out there: B flat marching horns music is in F.
Now, because it is basically a big B-flat horn, the fingerings are going to be that of a B-flat French horn.
Right, the way a horn player would think of them, though.
Yeah, that sometimes takes a little getting used to.
Yeah, well, again, it's just one. I was thinking a kind of related thing, too. Somebody, they've gone through life kind of comfortably in junior high playing their single F horn. Uh-huh. Then they get to high school, and suddenly they're handed a double horn and a mellophone and or a B-flat marching horn. And they've just got to, sort out all these fingerings suddenly and kind of make some changes. I wish it was easier for everybody, but it's not.
Well, I just a hypothetical question here. Not a hypothetical, but just kind of out there. Are single horns a good idea?
Yeah.
You think so?
Well, yeah, for a young beginner, yeah, because again, they start kids as young as fourth grade, so you're going to hand a double horn to a fourth grader. It's too small. Even a sixth grader, it's kind of borderline to actually just hold a double horn for an hour.
That's
so
true.
There's a weight thing there. There's a reality that they're just cheaper. So, basically the B-flat mellophone. You call it a B-flat mellophone loosely, but a B-flat marching horn is the same as the B-flat side of a double horn. A single B-flat horn is the same as a B-flat side of a double horn. A single F horn is like the F side of a double horn. And we all think of them as being horns in F.
Yes.
And the mellophone is the same pitch as the high F side on a triple horn. So they're all kind of in that same little middle range family of B-flat and F.
So it does take a little getting used to. What's the intonation like?
I found the ones I've tried, I thought it was pretty good. And again, they're using a horn mouthpiece and a horn lead pipe, and they've been making horn lead pipes, forever. So they've really kind of worked the kinks out there. The bell is not really a horn bell. It's bigger than – it's like a big mellophone bell typically.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a horn bell, but it's – bigger anyway. They're a bit heavier instruments. I know that in the show notes you talked about the Holton. There is exceptions. The Holton. Why don't you talk about that? The funky Holton you have.
Yeah, the Holton came out with a kind of a different type of a marching horn, and I'm trying to think when it came out. It had to have been in the 80s, I think.
Uh-huh.
Which looks almost like a French horn on its side. You've all seen pictures of them. I'll link to a picture of them.
Yeah, those are pretty interesting looking horns.
They are. They're unwieldy. They're just weird to play. They play okay. I recall back in the 80s when I was in college and we were up against a band that had them and we were commenting on how cool they were. And they're like, you want them?
Yeah, I can believe it.
Yeah, the students didn't take too well to them. But I will also go so far as to say is that unless you are a French horn player, which a lot of mellophone players are not, getting used to that is going to be hard. The whole fingering system is going to be very alien.
Yeah. Yeah, B-flat marching horn, if you hand one to a trumpet player, they're going to have to just really relearn the fingerings to read the part in F.
Yeah.
Because it's just, I bet only a third, less than a half the fingerings is the same.
Mm-hmm.
As they'd be on a trumpet. which I think is why the B flat parts actually exist. Again, is so that they can manage it. Which, yeah. But anyway, I want to read those parts.
Yeah, that part makes a little bit of sense. But anyway, back to the Holton.
Back to the Holton. Yeah, tell us about the mouthpiece.
Yeah, I found odd that it does not have a French horn shank. It has a cornet size shank, which means that it uses a traditional mellophone mouthpiece, which has the cornet shank. I found that a little unusual. I was expecting it to have the French horn size shank. Now, another fun thing that came with that instrument is usually the bell was removable. And it was a big bell. It's not quite the size of a French horn bell, but not that much smaller. It was bigger than a circular alto, smaller than a French horn. So it gives a lot. I could actually probably measure it, but I'm lazy today. But I'll put it in the show notes. I'll put the actual bell size. But they make them also. The bell's not removable, and I think that there is a knockoff of it somewhere out there, because you'll see them every now and then on eBay, and it won't have the Holton brand on it. It actually give you a brand, but it pops up every now and then.
Well, for long, those Chinese will probably be making one too.
Yeah, but I mean, they're just. I want to like get Mark to try it, because I could just see him, playing jazz on one of those things.
Yeah, it would be striking. I bet how does it feel playing it though? Like, what's the mouthpiece? How does that feel?
Unwieldy.
Because it's going to be a real loose. I mean, it's a big open wrap instrument, right? Does it feel free in a way, or is it kind of built like a tank so it sort of doesn't feel that way?
No, it actually does feel very free, almost too free. It's like you want some more resistance on it. You want a little bit more control. I think it can get out of control pretty easily. Because it is a real open wrap. It vibrates like crazy.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Yeah, because I've been trying a regular single B flat lately, and it's just interesting the low weight and everything. It just really is very free, and things happen quickly.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
Oh, absolutely. One thing that'd be interesting to find is a fingering chart for a B flat horn for an F player. Single B flat horn fingering chart.
Well, yeah, that's it'd be exactly the same as the single B flat horn fingering chart.
That's what I just said.
In fact, since you mentioned it, I just put it on, you may not even know this, I just put on my blog very recently and on my site my fingering chart out of my Introducing the Horn book, just kind of as a service to humanity. Uh-huh. So it's got three lines of fingerings. I think they're laid out real clearly. Single F horn, double horn, and single B flat horn.
Let me see.
And the single B flat horn fingerings would be exactly what you need for a B flat marching horn.
Yep, there so it is. I see it. You put it up a couple days ago.
Yeah. So link to that.
So
I just feel like there's just too many confusing fingering charts out there, and I finally just decided I'm just going to put mine out that I think's pretty clear. And it says right at the bottom, too, that the fingerings are, for a mellophone, are the same as trumpet fingerings.
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, here it is. Single F, double, and single B flat. Nice. So, yeah, we like to consider the B flat marching horn definitely part of the middle horn family. It's not a tenor instrument like a baritone or anything, or a baritone instrument like a baritone. Duh.
No. The other thing I would say is when I was trying mouthpieces and horns and everything, I had one of the ASU Kings here, and I would periodically play on that just to kind of see how it sounds compared to other things. And if you took like the King with just sort of a normal horn mouthpiece and played it, it has a little fuller sound anyway than a mellophone, like side by side. You can tell a difference. In the context of a band, probably it's not really that much significance, really. But it's a little different sound. You can definitely, I think, hear it.
I would tend to think that if you had a mellophone with like one of those real small mouthpieces against it, it would probably...
The mellophone will cut. If you put the 7C trumpet mouthpiece on it, it'll really cut.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
Yeah, which... I don't know. It's arguable. Anyway, some directors want that kind of sound, but I'm inclined to think it's not what you want.
Yeah, I agree. But, you know, I think it was time that we shed a little bit of light on this instrument, especially for the arrangers out there. And
oh, yeah, definitely.
I was Googling earlier the B-flat marching horn to see if I got some information. And they were all the information I found was a little kind of speculative. And they would say, oh, yeah, and it reads B-flat parts like a trumpet. No.
No.
Big caveat there, guys. Let's you know.
No.
Let's fix that.
No. Yeah, I think there's just a lot of confusion about the thing. It's a nice, potentially a nice design, but again, you got to kind of understand what it is and how to teach it and use it.
I agree. I think we've gotten through that one. Can you come up with anything else? Anything we left off?
I think we're about there.
Cool.
Yeah, so you got piston valves. If you're curious about that, you'll see a picture of one.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you think horn, you think rotary valves. No, it's piston valve instrumental.
Yeah, they look like a thick mellophone.
Yeah.
You know, with a smaller lead pipe, but the rest of the horn is just a little bit larger.
Yeah.
And, you know, bell is pretty much just like that of a mellophone, unless you're dealing with those Holton jobs, which are just an animal unto themselves.
That's exactly right.
Anyway, so let's talk about tonight's listening assignment, in which you don't even know what it is yet, do you?
I'm waiting for a surprise.
Okay, we are going to go back to the world of the tenor horn. Why? Because we like it. And we're going to listen to Sandy Smith play the concertino by Gareth Wood. And this is considered to be really one of the big, well-known, well-played, famous tenor horn solos. And it's a lengthy piece, I'll tell you now, but it's kind of cool. It doesn't have a lot of, you know, range to it. It's got some range to it, but it's not, you know, squealing up and down and running all over the place. But it's a real cool, funky piece. And I particularly like the part at the end where there's like this big credenza with percussion going very quietly in the background. Did you give this one a listen?
I listened to just the beginning of it before the show, just a little bit.
Ah.
And sounds nice. Anyway, I did listen to the bit of the beginning.
I probably will cut that. Just, you know, we want to make it. Yeah. You listen to everything. So let's give a listen to Concertino by Sandy Smith with the Black Dyke Mills Band. Thank you. Now, this was actually one of the first tenor horn solo pieces I ever listened to. As soon as I started to play tenor horn, I'm like, you know, going out and grabbing CDs to listen to things. This was the first one that was an actual tenor horn solo, so it had a big impact on me. You know, I have then sought out the music to it. And then, oddly, they also make a shorter version, you know, like with piano accompaniment, because it's not an ungodly long piece, but it's about 9 minutes, something like that.
So, ooh, 9 minutes. No, that's not too bad.
Yeah.
So, but I was curious, so what do you think about these British brass bands have such great names, don't they? The Black Dyke Mills Band.
Well, they're all corporate sponsors.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
So it sounds it's kind of cool. It's you don't have groups quite kind like that in America.
Oh,
at
yeah.
At least not with a quaint name like that.
The Grimethorpe Colliery Band and the York yeah. Building Society and the one of my favorites is Buy As You Go.
Buy As You Go.
Yeah. But these are, you know, really well-known bands that can play your socks, play their socks off.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
But they're all corporate sponsors, so that's very, very cool. Anyway, that is it for us this week. If you want to find older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, you can visit us at the Mellowcast website at www.mellowcast.com, as well as on MySpace and Facebook. You can also email us at questions@mellowcast.com or post messages on our forum. So for John Erickson and Chris Mark and Scooter, I'm Al Perkins, and always remember to play it proud and play it loud.
I'm getting paged here, aren't I?
Yeah.
But if my wife, it's gonna there. We're fine. I think my wife went out or something, so it got picked up. Anyway, what was I talking about?
Single horns.
I was babbling about. Yeah.